Please turn with me tonight to Paul's letter to the Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Great text, familiar text, powerful text. For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. So my subject, hopefully I will cover verse 8, 9, and 10. Saved by grace, simply and freely saved by grace. This is a text to love, and I believe it is a text to study also. Later, you may forget all what I'm going to say, but those three verses can pierce the heart of a sinner and make of him a new person. But the first thing I would like to mention, look at the verb, the first verb mentioned in verse 8. Oh, that verb is important. For by grace are ye saved. Saved. What does it mean? Saved from what? By what? By whom? Of what? And for what? What does it mean to be saved? Simply, to be saved means to be rescued. To be rescued from a disaster, spiritual disaster. To be rescued from a spiritual tragedy. It is to be rescued from an awful fate, plight, and future. But it means also to be delivered. Delivered from what? Oh, delivered from this world, delivered from myself. You see, people think the enemy is other people, the enemy is the government, the enemy is the church. But the first enemy is myself, my sinful nature, my selfishness, my pollution, my corruption, my ego, my self-esteem. So delivered from myself, from my sins, delivered from the judgment to come, delivered even from God, because we shall all stand before the living God. But look again the verse, for by grace are ye saved. It's very powerful in the Greek text. It means actually, and it speaks about a work which is permanently done. Once you are saved, permanently done. It is finished, never to be repeated again. Which means it is done by the power of God, not by the power of a man. Because man's power is ephemeral. It is terrestrial. It is just for a moment. But the power of God to save is for eternity. He saves us for now, but also for all eternity. But you see, saved again is important because we are not speaking about being saved from an illness. Oh, we wish you that. That's a great relief. Being sick, being ill in your bed and couldn't even stand, and the Lord grants you to be healed. Oh, that's we praise the Lord for that privilege. It is a privilege. We don't deserve it. It is not about being saved from drowning. It is not being saved from a fire or an accident or whatever, or unemployment. Oh, here I am. I'm without a job, and God saves me from being jobless. Oh, all these things are important. But here we are speaking about being saved from an eternal separation with the Creator, with God, the God to whom you owe your life. So that's why this word is so important. That's why we have to emphasize on this thing. It is not about the heart, feelings, my emotions, how do I feel, what do you want to hear? This is about your soul. You know, the soul is the real you. Oh, the body. The body is the external part. This is what we see, especially on Sundays, all presentable. But we are speaking about something deep down in you, which no man has access into, only God. So it's not about feelings. It's about the redeeming of the soul. My dear friends, I do not want to make this message gloomy or make you to be upset. But we are bent. We are twisted. Oh, we think we are straight. But indeed, we are completely out of the way. We are guilty of sin by nature, by choice, and by deeds. So that's why we cannot heal ourselves. Yes, we may try different things. We may think we are smart. We are so intelligent. We can find quick remedies, instantaneous remedies, quick solutions. But all the things I can suggest to you, without the gospel will be in vain. Only the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ can give us hope. We are as in sin death. We have a debt towards God. And God must deal with us because we are a rebellious generation. From the beginning, Adam and Eve have sinned against God. And since then, every man, every woman coming into this world, a child, an adult, a woman, a man, an old man, whatever you are, from any nation, any culture, any color, we are all sinners, and God must judge us. Please, my dear brothers and sisters, there are only two religions. Only two religions. You hear people are saying there are so many, but in fact, according to the Bible, only two. One is the man-made religion. I don't have time to explain what it means. And the second, it is the God-given, not man-made, but God-given. The first one is good works. I can do good works. I can pray, I can give alms, I can greet my neighbor, I can help him, I can pay my taxes, I can support a child in Africa or in India or somewhere else and so on. This is charity. But all these things cannot save my soul. And the second, opposite to good works, is the religion of grace. Grace, and we will explain that, God willing, with the time we have before us. Pure religion sets us free. It sets our souls free, and true religion, undefiled religion, makes us to be forgiven. And it is God-centered, not man-centered, because your good works are man-centered. This is what you do. This is what you think. This is the way you behave. This is how you want people to see you. Appearance. We live in a world of a spectacle, actually. We want to appear. But the gospel goes deep down in the bottom of our souls, and it shakes us and makes us to tremble and to know we are so frail. We are so frail, so weak, so fragile, if I may use that word. Here you are, here today, gone tomorrow, and that's the end of it. So how could I relate to the living God who has created me? How could I be forgiven? How could I know while I'm still alive, while I have this heart beating in me, why I could walk, why I could smile, why I could think, while I could work, and so on, have all my sins be forgiven? That's amazing, because all my evil thoughts, all my lies, all my secret sins I have done in a dark place, they can be washed. And Bible says, I can be made whiter than snow. Isn't that a miracle? Whiter than snow. Only God can do that work. So it is God-centered, by God, through God, and unto God. So from conception to completion, salvation is rooted in God, not in man. You remember we said there are only two religions, man-made, God-given. The religion of good works, which doesn't save, and the religion of grace. And grace is amazing. It's something amazing. And we shall see how it works. But before I go any further, later when you read verse 8, 9, and 10, you will see something. I hope it will catch your attention. Paul makes, he alternates from the positive to the negative, from the positive to the negative. But to say actually something very positive. In our sight. So the first thing I would like to mention, verse 8 again, for by grace are you saved. So we are saved by grace. In the Greek, there is the definite article. It's not we are saved by grace, but ye are saved by the grace. The grace, the only grace. Definite. And it's important. So we are saved by grace, not gimmicks. Grace permeates the Bible. I could spend the rest of the night really taking you up book after book in the Bible. There is that key word, grace, 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 grace. And just in our context here, you can check it for yourself later. Three times, verse 5, verse 7, verse 8, the word grace is mentioned, which means it is the important word in the text. Saved by grace, as I said, that is our title. Please don't think of grace about something abstract. Grace is God's provision for sinners. It is very important. People say God is not fair, God is not just. Can I change your mind on that if you are here for the first time or you never heard this thing? God is more than fair and he is more than just. Can I tell you why? He is gracious, he is generous, he is rich in mercy. Now, what do we mean when we say grace? Because people speak about grace in many instances. Even the government, the president can make a presidential grace and free a wicked person. But when we speak about grace in the Bible, it means God showers repenting sinners and gives them what they would never deserve. Never. You have the money which is in heaven on earth. You cannot purchase heaven. It's impossible. Why? Because it is by grace. That's why we say grace is the unmerited favor of God. It is unmerited, it is unearned, and it is free. From cover to cover, this is what we learn from the Word of God. And what does grace makes us then? The dead is made alive. I'm speaking spiritually. The wicked is now a kind person. The guilty is acquitted. The sinner becomes a saint. The child of wrath is made a child of mercy. The child of disobedience. Before I was disobedient, I was the center of the world, I thought. Everyone, nobody counts. It's me, just me. But now, this child of disobedience became a child of obedience. I want to hear God. I want to obey God. I want to receive the word of God. I want to please him. And even when I disappoint God, it's like earth open and swallow me. But Lord, I come to thee in repentance. Help me. Wash me clean again. And forgive me all my trespasses. So that's how we do it and how we come to the mercy of God. Oh, the sinner becomes a saint. The alien is adopted in the family of God. Salvation is by grace, and it will always be so. Otherwise, no one is saved. No one. God doesn't charge for his gifts. Grace is more than pardon. Why? Because grace is powerful. It doesn't only gives us pardon, but it gives me also to abhor sin, to hate it, and now to love righteousness. I'm sure some of us here could witness, if we were given them chance to give their testimony, they thought before sin is a pleasure. They have it as a crown. This is a medal. They were proud about it. But now, because they found the Lord Jesus, they know how sin is hideous and heinous, and they want to depart from it. They want to run from it because the grace of God has been manifested unto them. So we deserve the complete opposite of grace. Saved by grace, kept by grace. But in his mercy, God unites us with Christ. He quickens us from the dead. He sets us free, and he gives us power to fight against sin, against temptations, and against ourselves. And we can resist also Satan, the enemy of our souls. So grace, and I could say more on that, but this is my last point on this special word, grace. Grace wipes away any human contribution or participation and pretension also. No human contribution, no human pretension. It is from the beginning to the end a work of God, saved by grace from deadliness to godliness. I could have changed the title of my sermon by putting it, that's even better. Saved from deadliness, dead life, now to godliness. I fear God, I do not just work. Things are not happening just by chance. As I was saying this morning, the atheist says in his heart there is no God. You see, he says in his heart, but he has no proof. But they say, oh, where is God? But show us that there is no God. And when you ask them, why are you in this world? As I was saying this morning, oh, I'm here in this world because of my parents. No, it's not because of your parents. God created you, and you owe your life unto him. But pride came in between. Now I must go for the second point which I have before us in the same verse, verse 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, without faith it is impossible to please God. So don't think you will please God without faith. But here we are speaking about saving faith. We are speaking about divine faith. Why? Faith is important, and don't be deceived, because you have many people in this world, they have faith, but we are speaking about saving faith. Now, I explain what I do not mean by faith. Faith is not to, oh, I'm sorry, God, I'm sorry. No, that's not what we mean by faith. Faith is not even to experience sorrow. Some people, they go through grievous sorrows in their lives just to save their neck, actually. It's just for the moment. They know they have done something wrong, but they know their conscience is panging them, and now to free their conscience, oh, I feel, God, help me, just for now. But the next hour, what happens? They fall again into the same sin because their repentance was not from the heart. It was not sincere. It was just to save their neck. But faith is saving faith. We are speaking about saving faith. Now, faith is not also to believe in God. Many, many in this world, they will tell you. You go in the street, you witness to people. God? Yes, I believe in God. But do you live for God? No, I live for myself. I don't have time for God. I want to enjoy life. But that's not faith. But faith is not also assurance. And I speak as an ex-Muslim, where in Islam I had great assurance about my ex-religion, if that's a religion. But many religions have assurance. They provide assurance. But it's not saving faith. It's not divine faith. This is what we are speaking about. Oh, can I explain what I mean by faith? I spoke what faith is not. But what do we mean by faith? Now, if you allow me to make an invention, I will never do it again. But I think this is important. This is a definition. I said invention in the sense that it's not in a book. But when I was thinking about this verse, to separate or to differentiate between grace and faith, this is how I put it. And later you may erase it from your mind if you are not happy with it, but you should give me a better one. But here is the definition. What did we say about grace? Grace is God showering repenting sinners with his loving and dying love, forgiving love, and giving them something they will never deserve. But let me change a little bit on that definition again. Grace is God's hand stretched out for sinners. That's just because I want to speak or give the definition of faith now. And faith, is the red carpet rolled up by God to welcome the sinner. I hope you find it helpful. Grace, God's hand stretched out to reach the sinner, but faith is God's red carpet rolled up to welcome the sinner. You see, it's not your faith. It's not my faith. And faith is to be received. It is God-given. It is God who rolls up that red carpet to welcome you. But don't think you will enter in heaven on a red carpet. That's a different subject. But for now, you come to the Lord. It's like there is a red carpet rolled up to welcome a sinner. Oh, a sinner trembling with contrite heart, broken heart, repenting, trusting on the work of Christ on the cross of Calvary. So faith is taking God at his word in the way he chose to reveal himself, that is through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith is the only currency admitted in heaven. Faith is the only key to open the gates of heaven. Why do you want to make your own key while you are given the master key? Why? Unless you want to deceive? No, you should accept the master key given to you by God because he made a way. It is not my faith, but through faith. So faith is the channel by which God outpours his blessings and his forgiveness upon sinners who repent and trust on the work of Calvary. But we are proud people, and believe me, we are proud people. Why am I saying that? Not to offend anyone. Because we are not happy when heaven is free. Enter in heaven. No. I would like to do something. I would like to contribute. I would like to bring some effort into it. But heaven is admission free. Nothing to pay, because the price has been paid by Christ. His finished work on the cross of Calvary provided that admission free. He satisfied God's justice on our behalf. Faith means trusting and believing in God. Faith is the new cry, the cry of that new life given to us by the Holy Spirit. Faith is to surrender my heart and believe in Christ to rule my life. Faith, it is to throw my body, my mind, and all my being into the hands of Christ. Saving faith is to look outside myself and receive free salvation as a beggar. You know what this world says? You don't need me to tell you this. But this world says, faith is what? I believe in myself. Look at the sportsmen. Most of the time when they speak, will you win? Oh, I believe in myself. Believe in yourself? Who are you? It's impossible to believe in yourself. So frail. But saving faith is to see myself as a wretched sinner, and I look unto the forgiveness of the Lord Jesus Christ. He gives me pardon, he gives me salvation, and he gives me the capability. Now, in the text, verse 8, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Now, there is that tiny word, and that not of yourselves. That tiny word, it is a gift of God. People extrapolate, they speculate. What is the free gift of God? Is it grace that is free? Is it salvation that is free? Is it faith that is free? And there are books and books that have been written to explain that little word, and that not of yourself, it is a free gift of God. But why are they making to us things so complicated which are so simple? What does it mean? Grace is free. Faith is free. Salvation is free. You cannot buy anything. And the whole package from the context, everything is free. Last week I was speaking with a man, and he said to me, grace is God and faith is me. I said to him, you didn't read well the verse. Look at it again. For you are saved by grace through faith,
And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Grace is the gift of God. Salvation is the gift of God. Faith is the gift of God. Nothing you can stand and say to God, I have deserved it. Grace is undeserved and faith is a gift to be received. And the verse 8, again, in verse 8 it says, not of yourselves, it is of God. A gift must remain a gift. You know, sometimes parents say to their children, you pay half, I pay half, and I make you a gift. It's not a gift. Half, half. The child later will say, I paid halfway. But with God, even 0.1 million zeros and 0.1, you nothing to pay. You contributed nothing. It is all a gift of God. You cannot, and someone else cannot make you to be saved. Not of yourselves. It's not up to you. That's why you need to cry to the Lord to save you. God does it all. He doesn't just repair us. He renews us and makes us holy, blameless, adopted, and forgiven. Not of good works. Paul repeats, you see the negative. I told you Paul alternates between the positive and the negative. Verse 9, not of works, as he repeats himself. We are not saved by doing something. Religious duties, resolutions, good intentions, changing my habit, praying hard, fasting, attending church, reading the Bible, baptism. These things are important to take you to heaven. Lest any man boast, to God alone be the glory. Salvation has been purchased by Christ apart from our merits, our credit, and our effort. If there was somebody who could brag, you know, Paul could brag. If you do not agree with me, later you read Philippians chapter 3. This is a man who had a pedigree. He could list many things in his life. But he said, all these things, I consider them as nothing. But the only thing, Galatians 6 verse 14, he said to brag about or to boast about is the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, on whom he shed his precious blood. There is no room for boasting. God wants our worship, not our boasting. Nothing in my hand I bring, so no man can say before God, I did it. Saved for good works. Look at verse 10. Verse 10 helps us. Verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Saved by grace, but saved also not of good works or by good works, but saved for good works. We are not saved by good works, but unto good works. My good works without Christ condemn me. But once truly saved, converted, there is a profusion of them in my life. Good works are the result of new nature, the product, not the cause of salvation, the fruits, not the roots. God gives everything. He doesn't save us and leave us to ourselves. Even good works are a part of our salvation. My dear brothers and sisters, it is an insult to God to think that you can be saved by good works. If it was by good works, Christ died in vain. You remember the thief on the cross of Calvary? He didn't do any good works, but he just said a prayer. He said, Lord, remember me. Remember me. Shortest prayer. To come to the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't need a litany. Many words. People, they speak so much. So many words, but just a short prayer. Remember me. Now I know my time is over, but I must mention the beauty in this verse 10 again. There is something there which is so precious. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. You didn't create yourself. God created you. Christ created you. And once you find the Lord Jesus Christ, God does something marvelous in you. He recreates you. He recreates you in Christ Jesus. But the verse says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. It's another way, actually, of saying we are saved by grace, not by works. We have been created, and we owe him everything, creation and salvation. It is all about him and his atoning work. This is the word. That word, workmanship, is precious. It is found only twice in the whole Bible, in Romans chapter 1 and here in Ephesians chapter 2. And the Greek word, workmanship, gave us an English word which is known by everyone. The word poem. Poem. God is a poet, and we are his poem. But I explain. God is an architect. He designs you and me. And once you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, he redesigns you to please God, to walk with God, to be washed clean, to receive a new heart, new nature. Now your prayers can be heard on high, and so on. Oh, it speaks of a special work of art, a masterpiece, a perfect architect. Look at the beauty of the nature of his creation. God is a skilled designer. If you come to him in true repentance, God redesigns you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But look, verse 1, Ephesians 2, verse 1, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. But in verse 10, now God has recreated us and hath ordained that we should perform good works, that we should walk in them. Before we walked in our sins and trespasses, but now as you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, you walk in a new walk. You walk with good works prepared by God for you, and then God appreciates your good works. My dear brothers and sisters, I close with this. Faith alone, scripture alone, grace alone, Christ alone, and to God alone be the glory. These are the five words, actually, of reformation found in these verses. So the most important question is, are you saved? Are you saved? Have your sins been forgiven? You remember what we said in the beginning about the word to be saved? Rescued, delivered. What holds you back to come to Christ? Don't you want to be saved? Oh, humbly receive this Savior who saves to the uttermost. See the need of your soul. Value the grace of God and the price paid by the Lord Jesus Christ to save you. Come to him. Repent. Trust in him. Give him thy life, and he shall renew your heart and make of you a new person. I read these verses as I close. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. May the Lord help you as you come to Christ tonight. Let's close by singing hymn number 391. Hymn number 391.